Welcome to the RC Roundtable Podcast, where we discuss the latest RC hobby news, events, model reviews, and a whole lot more. Well, howdy, folks. Joining us. Wait, we've got an extra person here. It's
Count.
No longer a trifecta. So, for those keen-eyed people that are actually watching YouTube and not listening to it, we have a special guest, Phil Tallman, here on episode 214 of the RC Roundtable. Welcome, Phil.
Hi.
Phil is the District 11 VP, right?
Correct.
Where is District 11? I don't know where that is.
It's Washington, Oregon. Yeah, it's Northwest, and it's Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska.
Alaska? Wow, cool. All right. Well, fantastic. Thanks for joining us today, Phil. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it took a little bit of squeezing schedules because while it's 7 p.m. here, it's 5 p.m.
3 a.m. Tomorrow.
He's in illusions. Well, I have to ask, do you ever go to Alaska for any events or anything like that?
I haven't yet. I would really like to get up there, but it's a pretty long trip, and we don't have a lot of members up there, so I would really like to get up there one of these days.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That's a road trip.
Yeah. Flight trip. You have to go through Canada, right? I don't think there's a direct...
Right.
They're not connected.
Or you take a cruise ship.
Or around it.
Yeah, about.
Around it or over it, but yeah.
A duck.
That's what we need. We need the RC Roundtable cruise special. Fly in Alaska.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you could do that. Take one of those Alaskan cruises and stop off. And,
their flying season is really short, too. So it's about the same time I do everything too, so it's been hard to do.
Their flying season could be measured on a watch on one day.
June 30th to July 4th. There
you go. In the summertime it stays light all the time. So one day is 24 hours of flying.
So they pack it all in during that period.
Now, there's the event. Let's make it happen.
All right, so where are we going to start with today? What's on the schedule?
Oh, I think we're just going right into the Phil Tallman special.
We have Phil here for a specific reason, and basically a very large box arrived at my house last week, came from Phil.
Oh, yeah? What's her name?
Ha, ha, ha. How many PSI? But that's a follow-on to a smaller box that I got from Phil last summer. Mm-hmm. I forget how it got here. Did you hand it off at the AMA Funfly, or did Lee bring it? I don't remember.
I don't remember for sure either. I think I took it to the
Funfly.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah.
Okay. Well, regardless, you handed over a box of very interesting gadgets, and I got one example. Fitz, I think, has all the others, and I'll show you what they are. They're contra-rotating gearboxes. So a single motor driving two propellers in opposite directions through these bevel gears. It's super clever, and I never would have thought of this. So you can see there's on this one, there's one outrunner motor, and then if you spin it, it spins those bevel gears, and then you got two propellers going in opposite directions. So I think there's a few different variations on this theme, but they're all kind of the same basic idea. So Fitz, are yours the same concept?
Yeah, very much so. They're the same concept, different sizes. I've got one, it's kind of washed out, with, 8-inch props roughly, and I got another one with a bit smaller props as well, a little nice little brushless motor. The same kind of deal where you have, it was really washed out, these sort of bevel gears in such a clever way that you get your contra-rotating props. And it's interesting how the motor is sort of 90 degrees or perpendicular, basically, to the shaft.
Terry, show yours, because it was hard to see.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry my lighting is so crap.
I don't know if you can see the motor is facing vertically, and then there's a beveled pinion on there that engages with the bevel. I guess they would be spur gears here. So it's geared down a little bit, and you got two prop shafts going in opposite directions.
Bring it up and a little bit. You have it.
Yeah, on mine, there's a 7.3 prop on the front, three blade, and then in the back, it's an 8.4 that's been cut down to, I think, 7-inch diameter. And you can see it's got some, I guess it's nail polish on there. I assume that was used to balance the blades.
I think it was for balance, yeah.
Yeah. So, now, I did try to run this a few days ago, and I don't want to give any spoilers just yet, but I want to ask Fitz, have you had a chance to run?
How many Band-Aids are on his fans, folks?
So, Fitz, have you run any of yours? You're muted or something.
Sorry about that. Yeah, unfortunately, I have not had a chance. Just been busy with a lot of other stuff. I've been really interested to see what kind of power output they have. Because you have different motors, some probably in maybe the 50-watt range, maybe a couple hundred watts. I've got one that's fairly large. But sure. Interesting enough, I did find a possible subject for it.
Okay.
It's what's that?
I said, can you throw that in reverse?
What do you mean?
Can you run it forward and backwards?
I don't see why not.
Yeah. All right. Now, throwing some ideas out there, folks.
So, something in my stash I've had for a while, and I'll show you, see if you recognize it. I have it as a plans and a short kit. Yeah. Is that familiar?
It's a wing. It's a flying wing.
No, is it? I don't know.
Don't recognize it?
No, not really.
You've seen one.
Have I?
At the AMA Museum. Not AMA. At the FA, the EAA Museum.
Interesting. Oh, is it a Bugatti?
It's a Bugatti.
Okay.
A little with small one. It's like a Speed 400, roughly.
Pusher.
Is that a Gus Morphus plan?
It looks like a pusher, am I right?
Yes, it is Gus Morphus. No, this is the nose.
Am I just trying to... Oh, okay. It's hard to see.
It is indeed a Gus Morphus Bugatti. And if you remember, the real Bugattis had a contra-rotating propeller setup.
Yeah, all right. That'll be interesting.
So I do think one of these boxes, to see the power-ups, would fit, I think.
All right. Well, like I was telling you the other day, I highly recommend you do a bench run of whatever motor you pick first. Because I did run this one in the shop the other day, and I assume this was a prototype. It looks like everything's hand-machined, and Phil, we'll have some questions for you about the origin of these in a minute. But if you look at it, there's kind of a design, I don't want to call it a flaw, but a design limitation here that the only bearing surface is right here. So ahead of that, you've got a whole lot of rotating mass, and so it's very critical to balance. And what happened the other day when I tried running it, I mounted this to a piece of wood and had that in a bench vise. So it was pretty solid. But when I would get up at half throttle, it made a heck of a noise and decent thrust, but it would start to vibrate. And then immediately it would throw one of the prop adapters here, which also holds the gear mesh. So as soon as that pulled loose, the gear mesh would get out of whack. So I tried several times to get it to run, and I haven't had any luck yet. But it's just going to take a lot of very precise finagling to get it going, I think.
Way to go, Phil. You gave him a defect.
Oh.
Well, I found... go ahead, Phil.
Well, that may be what those prop adapters that had the 6 set screws in them were for, to keep
it right. Yeah, they needed that much grip strength. Yeah. You know, and I found it interesting because I read a book recently about the Northrop B-35, the big flying wing bomber that had originally was designed for contra-rotating propellers. And I think the B-36 was the same way, but they had such trouble getting the contra-rotating gearboxes to not explode that they eventually just gave up. So I wonder if this is just one of those Mount Everest of engineering that nobody's really mastered yet. So you
know, there are some pattern airplanes that fly with contra-rotating props on them.
With single motor, or I think those have opposed motors.
No, those single motors, the one I think I saw, right. I recall.
I've seen them both ways. I've seen one motor feeding through another one.
Yeah, that I've seen. So they're coaxial mounted motors. One has a hollow shaft and the other has a solid shaft in the middle of that.
So yeah, maybe that's
Yeah, I don't recall seeing a single motor set up yet. But you're saying you have fits?
Pretty sure. There was a local fellow flying a country rotating. And I had to check my... I know I took some pictures of it, but I'm pretty sure it only had one motor in it.
Huh, okay. I'd be interested to see how they do that.
I think it was a belt drive setup, but I'd have to double check. It's been a while.
Oh, okay. That would be interesting.
In that stuff, there was a commercial... it was a two-motor setup for counter-rotating. And I don't know if it ended up... I saw it. I think I put it in with the pile, but maybe not.
Oh, so, if it was there, then Fitz has it.
Yeah.
Were there any two-motor versions in your stash? Sure.
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember if it ended up in Fitz's box.
I'm looking, okay. But I don't remember a two-motor one.
Okay.
Well, you know, going back to that big box that I started this story with,
right.
Inside of that was an airplane. And that airplane, Leah sent you a link, and we can talk about it in a minute. The airplane itself is super interesting. But the person who was building it, same person who designed these gearboxes, this had different versions of the gearbox, a little bit different, still a single bearing, but in this case, yep, that's the Wii, the French for yes, Wii, O-U-I.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a second. Hey, Lee, bring it back to me so you can see the airplane. So here's the fuselage of it. And you can see here's another version of that contra-rotating gearbox. In this case, it's still a single bearing, but that bearing is ahead of the gears. So it's kind of between the gears and the props. Maybe that makes it a little bit more balanced. And this is that six-set screw prop adapter that I posted a picture of the other day. And I believe this is all machined by... somebody, yes. One person. Okay. And they did a great job. So now here's an interesting thing about the Wii that you probably haven't seen yet. So this is the fuselage of it. And let me see if I can hold it here. That whole motor on the front tilts up. And...
along with the wing or canard or something?
Well, I've got the wing here. Here's the wing structure, which is not yet complete.
Okay, we probably should describe this for those that are listening.
Well, I'm trying to.
That's Terry's job.
It's harder to describe.
More description.
Really, it's imagine. Okay, well, let me get the basic overview down, and then we'll put some labels on it. So this is a built-up balsa wing, a little bit of plywood, and it's twin motor. So it's got two nacelles, one in each wing, and then if I move this little doohickey here, these outer panels tilt up. Just like the nose does. So it's I guess you would call it a tilt wing, like a V-22 Osprey. Mm-hmm. But in this case, there's a power plant in the nose, and then, again, these two power plants in the wing that all tilt up together for vertical takeoff or super slow flight, and then they can tilt forward for standard forward flight.
So it looks like either a tandem wing or a canard, and both the front and rear wings tilt to go to vertical takeoff?
Yeah, no, that's correct. So the canard that's on the front here tilts with the motor.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe, Lee, if you can bring up that link again, it would give an overview for the people who are watching.
Say and please.
And for the people who aren't watching, you can go to the website later. It was a plan that was in Model Aviation Magazine, and so if you go to modelaviation.com and search...
That's really neat. I've never seen that before. Is that a newer plan? How old is it?
It's been a couple of years, right?
Really?
If you scroll down, the date might be on there. I don't
remember
know.
Ever seeing it. Look at that. That is neat. It's just sort of, so it's a picture of it in hover mode, presumably. So the canard and the main wings are tilted up. The body is sort of lift at a 45-degree angle up. There's a rudder and ventral fins. And it looks a little bit like, wasn't there a passenger carrying similar concept at Oshkosh we saw?
Oh, they had a drone like that that stayed in that same angle, right? It would just tilt forward to go into forward flight. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
There's a passenger, there's a person carrying version too.
Yeah.
That they demonstrated.
It's black. It's got two main wings though. And then what?
Yeah.
It's
got four motors, but it's a similar concept. Almost similar. The wings don't tilt like this one. So that's interesting. I wonder if there's two different flight modes then?
Yeah, you'll have to read the article. It uses the old KK flight controller, which was included with all this stuff. If you can see some of the electronics here.
Okay. I presume we'll do some links to people curious exactly what we're talking about.
So the design is not built around these contra-rotating gearboxes. That's irrelevant. But this one has it on all three motor locations. So I found that pretty interesting. Now that we've covered all of that, Phil, I want to hear from you. How the heck did you end up with A, the gearboxes, and B, this airplane? I want to hear the story about the equipment and the person behind it.
All right. So I was out at my shop one day, and I'll try to make this story short, but there's a lot to it.
We got time.
I get a phone call, and the gentleman introduces himself. His name is Merton Bowman. He says, I got something I want to show you. And I asked him, well, what is it? I just got to show you. I live, so he's close by. I go to his house. He takes me down in his basement, and he has the largest collection of magazines that I've ever seen in my life. I think he had 30 or 40,000 aviation magazines.
Wow.
They were all cataloged and in wrappers. It was beautiful. He had a nice library of aircraft books. He had the whole Jane series and all of that stuff. And he says, what I need is I'm getting older. I'm worried my kids are just going to throw this away when I pass away. I'd like to get it to a museum. Can you help me do that? And I tried. I really did. Museums are not real good about taking printed material. We have pretty much all of that in the model aircraft museum we have in Muncie. Getting it to Muncie would be difficult, you know, even if you wanted to let them sort through it and see if anything was bigger or better. And I tried some of the local museums. I couldn't find a home for it. But I made the connection with this gentleman. He was just so interesting to talk to. I think when I met him, he was just turned 90, was a machinist all his life, really, really got into building his own things. During his retirement, worked for a museum here in town for a while, was just really passionate about counter-rotating aircraft and had started building a few things. He collected some plans and things and started building these motors. Now, when I got the parts, I think the versions that's in the Wii are V10. Wow. And he had parts back. There were still some parts bins that were labeled V7. So he went through quite a few iterations with it. When he was getting close to passing away, he says, I want you to take some of this stuff and find some homes for it. I just don't want it thrown away. And even the Astroflight motors that I sent you way back when, that's where those came from as well.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up loading a whole pickup truck full of stuff. And he was worried about this project. I said, you know, I'll do what I can. I took a look at it. It's not really my thing, but I just think it's kind of your thing. So that's why I offered it to you. And I'm hoping that at least we get some words with it and see what happens with it.
It's very interesting. And
craftsmanship, he was a master builder.
Yeah, the woodwork he may have been a machinist, but the woodwork on here is super clean. So that's very impressive. Way better than I could have done with any of it.
This is one of the things that I got too. I don't know if you want to switch to me, Lee, or
I will. I got to move you up here and then bring you
here. It looks familiar.
So this is an XB-42
Mixmaster. That's it, Mixmaster. Thank you.
And you know, it is, I don't know, maybe 36 inch span. It's not huge. But this is all scratch built. He drew the plans for it, did it all. It does have one of his setups in it for counter rotating. The motor's back in here, so not everything is quite in the tail.
Oh,
gotcha.
I mean, the craftsmanship is just amazing. If you can see down the line of this fuselage, how nice and tight that looks. This whole bottom section comes off.
Oh, neat.
So you can.
It's right in half. Look at that.
Inside. And he just did amazing work. So I wished I'd have met him a couple years earlier. I'd have had him make some bigger models for me. But
yeah, right.
Just a very, very interesting gentleman. I wish
is that
around. So
is that supposed to be held on by magnets, or how does it stay on?
I don't. Well, you know, this was one that he was working on and developing, and it's not finished. There is a bulkhead in the front, a couple screws, so maybe you're going to put a screw in it to hold it on. He didn't have there's a glass windshield that goes on the nose, and then a canopy that goes on the top, and he hadn't finished any of that yet. Mm-hmm. So, and this one's quite, I mean, it's really good, but it's just, if you tried to ship it or do anything with it, it would be pretty fragile,
I'm afraid. Yeah.
The wing comes out, I mean, it's not, it does come into pieces, but I don't know, maybe one of these days I'll try to finish this one.
It looks like a big Gillows kit.
It does. Yeah. But it's just amazing. His workmanship is amazing. So
yeah. Now that's another one that would be an accurate scale contra-rotating setup.
Yes.
And I think on the real one, it's like what we were talking about for the pattern planes. It had two engines turning different shafts.
Yeah. He had a bunch of plans that he had collected, a bunch of drawings that he had collected. I don't remember the gentleman that drew them, but we ended up taking those to the museum. And he had power of attorney on them, so that we turned them all into the museum, and the museum was going to digitize them and then offer them, you know, like we do our plan service. Mm-hmm. But a lot of really neat drawings, and I'd take them in my check bag, so I could take about 40 pounds at a time. I think it took me 4 trips to get them all taken back to Muncie.
My goodness. Yeah. And that leads me to another question I was going to ask, because there was a pile of documentation with this airplane you sent me. Now, was Mert involved with the design of the Wii at all?
No. He saw it in the magazine and decided he wanted to do one and do it with counter-rotating motors. Did take some leeway with the design. So you'll notice that it doesn't perfectly match the plans, but, you know, right. It's, you know, artist interpretation, I guess you'd call it. But, it was pretty close to that. And he had all the parts for it, the controllers there. I had tried to contact the gentleman that wrote the article and get the program. And I think it's posted. There's a thread on RC groups.
Yeah. I think it's linked in that online article.
Yeah. So the programming for the controller is in there too.
Okay, so I find that interesting, because in the stack of documentation you sent me are plans for the hand-drawn plans for this model. So he basically redrew the plans for his version of it.
He loved to draw too, so it was really cool. Very interesting gentleman.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And the time he must have spent doing that. Then they're nice drawings too. They're not back of the napkin type things.
Yeah, everything that he had, that he had a workshop. Again, he built this house to hold his library for one thing, and to have his workshop in. He had a bench in the basement that was 40 feet long, and he'd have small mill machines and lathes, and that whole bench was covered with machining tools. And then he had other benches that he did balsa and stuff on, and then the library, all that was in his basement. Had a dumbwaiter put in, an elevator, so he could pack stuff up and down out of the basement. It was really good. You look in there, he built his own vacuform machine. So the cowls and stuff, the plugs are in there, because I didn't have anything to, so you can make more if you have a vacuum machine. So I included those in the box too.
Yeah, let's see, I've got cowlings for these motor nacelles here, and there's bottoms that are screwed on there, but interesting stuff.
So he made all that stuff, so really cool. One of the best calls that I've had as a VP. Usually it's, can you help us solve this argument in this club, or or something like that.
Can you help clean up the blood?
So his name was Merton
Bowman, B-O-L-L-M-A-N.
Okay. Well, Merton, thank you so much for building these things. And I'm going to do my best to get something going with them. It's just, it's a lot to digest right now. There's so many interesting aspects of it to sort through and get it going. But yeah, I would like to be a good steward of this stuff and see what I can make happen with it.
Terry is a good steward of getting stuff from basements, unfinished projects from basements, and getting them back in the air. So.
Yes, and living to tell a tale.
You have found the right donor, Phil.
Yeah.
Or donee. Is he the donee?
I'm the beneficiary. So, Phil, do you know if anything has flown with one of Mert's gear contra-routing gearboxes?
I don't know for sure. I don't remember seeing anything that he'd finished with them. He had a whole test set up, you know, a pressure or a pull meter,
Thrust
meter that he'd built for it. He had all, so the version 10s that are in the Wii are going to be better than the version that you've got.
I don't know, they look more robust.
But, yeah, there's a bunch. There was a bunch, and he had collected documentation on all the counter-rotating airplanes that he could find. Mm-hmm. All that paper stuff is really hard to do anything with. So,
right. Yeah, there was a Spitfire too, wasn't there? They experimented with, wasn't there?
There was many. Yeah. So I think there was a lot of the Warbirds they tried with counter rotating. Spitfire's one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if they did a Corsair, maybe.
Well, they had several that Warbirds that were converted in Reno.
They tried, but I think like you're finding out, the system was just too many moving parts.
Yeah, it was a mechanical nightmare.
Yeah.
And I think at a minimum, when you've got those shafts touching each other, those bearings are moving at double the RPM of either prop.
Yeah.
So it's got to be tough on.
I think the only really successful one was the TU-2 Bear.
Oh, the Bear? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which is still in operation, still in service.
Yeah, okay.
And they found the magic secret sauce, whatever it was, to do it.
Vodka.
Vodka, yeah. Lubricated by vodka. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. And just looking at this now, it's so many interesting aspects of it. It kind of hits all my triggers here. So it's going to be a cool thing to get under the microscope and see what we can do.
Just keep me posted. Let me know how it turns out.
I certainly will.
Yeah, definitely.
And this one, the original one, even if I never get it running reliably, it's a super interesting thing just to have on your desk to spark conversation. Because I've had it on my workbench and people come in here and they're like, hey, what the heck is that? I'm like, oh, well, let me show you. And which is exactly what I did the first time I saw it. And I'm like, oh, that gearbox design is just so clever that I don't know why I never thought of it before, but it makes sense.
Had Phil given me one of those little motors, I would have had it on a slow stick in 5 minutes. Just saying. And flying.
Next time you're over at Fitz's place.
So, I listen to these podcasts and Fitz and Terry were talking about this stuff. That's why I sent them to Fitz. So, you just didn't seem to have any interest in counter-rotating anything.
I think you're still holding a grudge that I flew your plane.
No. That's all done. That's all.
Do you want to share that story, Lee?
You didn't know it was mine anyway.
But. It was Camp AMA.
Oh, is this the jet?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Shenanigans happened.
It all turned out okay at the end.
All right. Well, Fitz, one more question for you. The one you're fiddling with there, does it have the same props front and back?
This one does, and that actually leads to my next question for you, Terry. Have you ever tried changing the props on these?
No. I assume it's just a larger bore on the rear prop.
Yeah, to see how that comes apart. But yeah, you're right, because normally the rear prop has a higher pitch than the front prop.
Yeah.
And this one has the same, at least these the two I've been looking at have the same pitch, 6.3. No, 6.4. So some do and some don't. So this one actually has a higher pitch in the rear. This one, they're exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking. There's another one that has a smaller diameter in the rear. 5.4, 4.5, 4.5. Yeah. So this one's the same, too. There's another one I had. Here's one that's kind of odd. And it's kind of hard to see in the picture, but the rear prop, it's got a smaller diameter than the front prop.
Huh. Is it a higher pitch?
Pretty clear. It is a 5.4 in. Yeah, it is higher pitch.
Okay.
But normally you don't change the diameter. You just change the pitch because the air is already accelerated. So
he loved to do experiments. And if you looked at that paperwork, he was a meticulous record keeper. There's notes on everything. So
yeah.
So I wonder if he found it performed better with a shorter prop or something.
Don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. That is very interesting. Yeah, you got me thinking, Terry, about other planes. I know you're going to laugh at me. I know the Japanese experimented with some counter-rotating planes in World War II. Might make any scratch build project.
Of course they did. But, you know, just like Lee mentioned, just throw it on something like a slow stick just to put this interesting rotor in the air on something.
Don't know if they have us.
Build on that. One, Lee, I'll see if I can find another one.
Fitz, I'll see you next week. Hand me one.
Yeah, I got extra ones. I can see if
I got a slow stick.
You got a slow stick?
I got three.
What's the wingspan? Which is that the roughly 30 something?
Like three, little three.
All right, I'll see if I have one that seems like that one might work.
All right. Well, very cool. This is something that I wanted to share with everybody because I just hope that other people think it's as interesting as I do. So thank you, Phil, for sending it my way. And
yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and sharing the plane and his plane in the background.
That's cool.
You need to follow up with us when you get that one done.
The little XB, yeah.
Are you planning to get it flying?
One of these days, yeah. So
all right.
I'm mostly into bigger stuff right now. The P-47 is the 60cc Sato three-cylinder in it. I'm just putting together. Oh. But flying bigger stuff. And, you know, last year I got my turbine waiver. So nice. I'm trying to get this stuff in before my eyes go away. I'm getting on the high side of experience. So I don't know when I'm going to be able to, how long I'm going to be able to do that kind of stuff. So that's where I've been focusing my thing is warbirds and jets.
All right.
I should get my turbine waiver and let's strap it onto plywood overcast, shall we? Two little mini turbines in the nose there.
Oh, there you go.
Have you had a chance to fly to Sato much?
This engine was in a Westland Lysander for a couple of years.
Really? Cool.
And another really unique aircraft, but it liked to land on asphalt, but I think when they put the kit together, they put the gear in the wrong place. So on grass, it would tend to nose over, and I even had it nose over on takeoff a lot. So it was hard to work with, and although it was really cool in the air, it wasn't as fun to fly as some models. So it's been sitting for a couple of years, and I decided that's too much engine to just have sitting for a couple of years. So I found this P-47 about a month ago and put everything in it. So it's going to fly some. I have a small fleet of P-47s, so I'm going to add to it. But the engine itself runs fantastic. The only thing I did to it was put the timing ring on it, the one from CH Ignitions.
Yeah.
It runs, awesome. It sounds great. It's never misfired. It works really, really well. And then I have actually three Sato radials. I've got a 33, the 60, and a 90. The 33 is in a Hangar 9 P-47, the 150 version. So it's another Razorback. It was really light. And I flew that. I put that in this past year and flew it all summer. And I flew it a lot. And it ran great, did fantastic. The 90 is in a Pilot P-47, so it's a bigger one. And it's got about five flights on it so far, and it's been running great too. So
So you're a fan of P-47s, like Lee is a fan of P-38s.
Yeah, probably.
I have P-47s too.
Yeah, of course.
You don't have them all, but
I don't have them all. No, but I think I have four.
You have four P-47s?
Four P-47s.
Wow. I have five now that are gasoline powered, starting at a 20 cc and going up to a 90. And then the last E-Flight one that they released last year or so. So I have a little electric too. I don't have
cool. Yeah. Now, before we started recording, were you saying that you 3D printed some parts for that P-47?
Yeah, the intake, I don't know if you can see it inside the cowl.
Okay.
So this was an intake for the super turbocharger. Uh-huh. Bottom, and a lot of the models, when they put the cowls out, they don't put that intake in there.
Okay.
I found that. I found the STL file on Thingiverse, and it was sized to fit the 20 cc hanger 9, and I just adjusted size. I've got one in the big P-47 that I printed, and then one in here.
Oh, neat. Okay. Is that the oil cooler or something? I'm not sure what that is.
P-47s have had a big supercharger, turbocharger. The reason use was so big was to build around that system.
Yeah.
That was the intake for the air to try and get to that. So that was piped all the way back to underneath where the pilot sits, is where the turbo supercharger was.
Yeah.
It the turbines were back there, and then they fed the compressed air back up to the carbs in the front.
So what's that museum in Colorado Springs, the World War II museum?
Yeah, you're reading my mind.
Okay. So, yeah, I was there last year, and they have basically a P-47 power system. It's got the R-2800 in the front and then all of that ductwork for the turbocharger, and it's just sitting out outside of an airplane, and it's huge. I mean, it must be 20 feet long.
And so it's the National Museum of World War II. That's what it's called.
So, yeah, that's what you were saying, Phil. That's why the thing was so darn big, just to accommodate all that system. And
it's really an amazing – it was a great aircraft. And
oh, yeah.
I've read a lot about it, watched YouTube, and listened to pilots talk about it. Everybody that flew it really loved it. Right. It really took care of its pilot. So,
you ever heard stories about the engine practically being shot to pieces and still taking them home, you know?
Yeah. And I had never seen one fly until last year at Oshkosh when they had that restored one that showed up. Yeah.
Really? I've never seen a full scale fly.
Really?
I've seen a lot of full scales static in mm-hmm. several museums. Almost every museum has one.
Yeah. Pretty popular.
Yeah. And speaking of, and we've probably shared this story a dozen times now, but 10, 15 years ago, I was at the New England Air Museum, and I happened to be there on a day when nobody else was around, and one of the docents was there, and he was bored, and he saw me walking around. He said, "Hey, you want to go sit in some cockpits?" And so...
"Hey, kid, want to go to my van?"
I guess they sometimes have open cockpit days. This was not one of them, but he took me around, and their P-47 is one that I got to sit in.
They have a P-47. Cool.
Yeah, and it's spacious. I mean, a lot of planes you feel cramped, but in that P-47... you felt like you could have like a TV dinner in your lap.
I was going to say a little refrigerator on the side there. Lazy boy seat. You can kind of lean back.
Yeah.
And it made one of the faster aircraft too with the war.
Surprisingly
fast. Yeah.
Yeah. They added the paddle blade propellers on there that really changed the performance of it. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Very cool. And so I guess with the 3D printing, Lee and Phil have plenty to talk about. Or I should say, Lee has a shoulder to cry on.
mine just works. I don't understand all the problems that Lee.
Lee's got the magic touch. He just touches it and it breaks.
I was telling somebody the other day, that's been kind of my experience, and I was very careful how I said it because I don't want to jinx myself. But like you, Phil, I have an Ender 3, some flavor of that. And other than leveling the bed every now and then, it just kind of does what I ask it to do without much fuss.
Now I haven't had it print anything fancy like Lee's switchblade there or any of that.
Right.
You know, I've done a lot of toys for the granddaughter. She likes the articulated, you know, the toys that you can move and thing. And I've had pretty good luck with that. But yeah, it's just keep the bed in the right place and then everything seems to work.
Yeah. Knocking on wood here. So Lee, in the last episode, you were talking about fixes to yours. Update us on that.
So I had put some new parts in, and I mentioned, I think it was Fitz, I don't know if it was both you guys, it's like, I feel like my printer has one possible solution out of a million different settings. You know, like only one combination of, you know, eight different settings can make it print right. And like the best combination I've ever been able to get is maybe a 90%, you know, solid print. You know, there's still something wrong. But I will say, now that we've come to that, I made a container today. And my filament is another issue because I've been trying different brands. And I think Fitz will agree with me. My best results so far have been Inland PLA, PLA Plus. And you can get it at Micro Center. So everything so far that I've printed on Inland has done real well. I've also had success with Overture Gray PETG. And some colors just don't print right, but the gray has done real well. I will say I tried the Overture Black, and they call it PLA Professional, and I just have some serious issues with that. So I'll probably go back to Inland. But I made me a little container today. This printed out actually pretty well. I'm actually, you know, part of my settings and tests is I've dropped the speeds down a lot. I really don't like how slow I'm printing now. It's you know, it's not where you see the bamboo guys, just those heads flying left and right, and 5 minutes later the print's done. So I'm having to print real slow, but I'm getting much better quality prints. I don't know if you can see. Yeah. And this is I'll just tell you what I got this for my Weller soldering iron. I have a whole bunch of extra tips. And so I'm just wanting to have this container to hold all the tips so that either when it's on the desk or in my travel bag, because I have a bag for my soldering equipment when I go to events, I'll have all my extra tips. So this is a nice little thing I got on Printables. So just look for a small container with large threads and you can print that. But I wanted to talk to Phil about the STL file he had for the Hanger 9, right? 20cc. Uh-huh. I printed that sucker. Sort of years ago, probably maybe a year and a half ago, for my Seagull P47, because I was told that it's the same size, not even close to the same size. So the engine
intake? Like a fake,
yeah,
a dummy engine,
a fake engine center. Okay.
Piece. Oh, the engine itself.
Okay. And there's a thread on RC Groups where some guy who had the Seagull said he printed that. Well, I'm guessing he resized it maybe, and he didn't point that out, because that sucker's I don't know how long it took you to print that. Do you remember, Phil?
Oh,
did you do the radial or just that?
Just piece? That. I didn't do the radial because I've got a radial. But
Well, I got so I had to print that radial. It took like 12 hours, yeah. and I was like pushing it in the cowl, going, "You're gonna fit," and no luck. So no luck at all. But I digress. It's like I need to start, you know, looking for better files for those for the cowl to get that on there, because right now it looks pretty silly with just the outrunner sitting in the middle of that thing.
You didn't try printing it again? Just scale it down a bit.
Can you scale in the slicer?
Yeah, you can. Oh, absolutely. But I mean, I had other issues too, where like it just the forward back where that prop mounts, it could not fit in the lip comes around on that cowl. Anyway, I digress. That's something I need to work on. But
what slicer are you using?
I use Cura. I've tried Prusa. I go back and forth, but Cura has just been. I go back to Cura.
I've been using Prusa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Prusa slicer is pretty good.
Oh, and I have it, and I've used it from time to time, and I'll do some comparisons, but like I said, I'll print the same thing. This has been part of that troubleshooting. I have just been troubleshooting this printer. That is it. I'm not enjoying my printer. I am troubleshooting my printer. But now that I've got a better understanding after all this work on the Cura, and I can fine-tune, I've really eliminated a lot of my stringing because of my little filament heater / dehumidifier, but it's really just a heater. And I've got a new setup above my rig, so the filament goes in pretty quick. So I've 90% of my stringing has disappeared just because of that. And And also, I mean, I don't know if you were privy to the previous show, Phil, but my whole temperature setup was wrong.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
sensor had fallen out, so I was like on the edge of a huge bonfire in my office because I was throwing 300 C temps at my printer.
It was almost osmosis the way they were.
Yeah, things are working better. So that being said, I have printed this container. I printed a couple little parts that are doing well. This is just for fun. On my chest of drawers downstairs was a pack of cards, and the box was all beat up. And I just like, I wonder if someone's made a card box or something. And sure enough, someone has made one. It's got a little lid. It's got the spade logo, put into this. I was like, that's pretty cool. So I gave it a try. Printed pretty good, And then I printed a hinge so the little lid can go back and forth. And my kid was like, oh, that's cool, Dad. So you were talking about printing stuff for your granddaughter, little toys. It's like, I got myself a little card, carrying a holder now. So I think I'm, getting back into printing good things with my FL son. Still would love to get a bamboo. I think that's one of those, pipe dreams, when the money comes rolling in. But otherwise, I think I've tamed the savage beast to where I can get stuff done.
All right. Well, I'm glad at least you're printing anything now, because you were you're out of the 3D printing business there for a bit.
Yeah, and I don't know. Hey, Fitz, have you printed the olive drab? Have you ever printed this color?
I have some olive drab.
This is just talking about building military parts and bombs and stuff.
Yeah,
it's great to get the inland olive drab. So just FYI,
that's I use, I think, the olive drab TPU to print bombs for guys. Oh,
so they bounce.
The TPU is like a rubber filament, flexible filament, and so I print a whole bunch of bombs. Mike Liable has a bunch and he loves them. So it's because they don't shatter when they hit the ground.
Yeah, but in that color they're single use because you never recover them.
I think he paints a yellow tip on them or something.
Okay,
he gets them back. Usually he gets them back. Every once in a while he'll hit me up for some more because they go by attrition. He'll lose some, but
well, I've seen him drop way far down.
Like yeah, those are the ones that down. Yeah.
I was like, what are you thinking, there, buddy?
After a couple of those drops, he's like, yeah, can you make me some more?
Oh, hey, Fitz, I got something to show you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby.
Hey, Fitz, I got something to show you.
Yeah, all right.
So, for those listening... So, Fitz is squealing with delight because we have Hobbyview merch. I'm wearing a t-shirt and Lee has a mug.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, guys, for your support. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, your Christmas present was the money that went into your pocket for me to buy this stuff.
Right.
This was a gift from Lee. So.
Oh, thanks. That's cool. Hey, Lee, by the way, I fixed that issue with the print on the mug.
The mug?
Yeah.
You can tell, right? Yeah. It's a little low and nothing on the backside.
So it's a collector's item.
Okay, right. Can you sign it for me? Maybe I just get your signature on the backside. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Then you can get that bamboo printer you wanted.
Ooh.
He's probably going to charge me to sign it, though.
All right, Fitz, it looked like you were going to show us something a minute ago.
I don't know. Was I? Yeah. You were talking about 3D printing. So I started 3D printing I started and stopped. I need to start again. In fact, you can see more pieces in the box right there. Which way? I'm trying to keep them separate. Yeah. So I found some guy, I think it was on Colts, has a pond racer. If you remember what a pond racer is, I got to have that. And it's 3D printed. So I got the pieces and I started printing out the goodies. Now, in this one, I'm doing an experiment based on one of our other guests we had. I think it was a guest. And this is actually ABS. It's not PLA.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm doing thin wall ABS printing. So I'm just holding some segments of one of the pods, I think the engine pods. If you remember, the pond racer is sort of a twin boom with a pod in the middle, almost P-38-ish in a way.
Forward-swept wing, right?
Forward-swept wing. Really, really funky. Because it was designed by Burt Rutan at Scale Composites. Yeah, so it's really futuristic.
And it crashed, unfortunately.
It crashed, yeah. The engines, it had a lot of problems with the engines. They were automotive engines, and they just couldn't take the stress. I think they caught fire at one point, and the guy had to crash land. But it's always a neat-looking design. And so I started printing one out, and it's the... the I had to say, yeah, there it is. We have a picture of it. Really, really cool, funky, distinctive aircraft. Meant to go fast. Mm-hmm. It's a Reno Racer, right? I think it was unlimited class, whatever they call it. Yep. So go fast, turn left. it's actually a fairly large model. I didn't realize how big it was. I started printing it out, so it's pretty good size. And so far, it's been printing the ABS pretty well. You know, if you recall, he was saying that the ABS really isn't much heavier, if any at all, than PLA, but much stronger and much more resistant to warping in the heat. So I thought I'd give it a shot.
All right, cool. What are you going to use to adhere the parts together?
Just CA, regular medium CA. Shouldn't be a problem.
All right. I was thinking somebody that people use acetone for that.
It's a welding. I don't know if I trust it in this case. Yeah. Maybe. No. And that's, I don't want to deal with that toxicity either, so I want to live.
I can tell you about my Plasti-Weld episode.
That should work.
I've got an acetone story too. Well, sort of. It should have been an acetone story. I posted the image a couple nights ago of some melted RC truck
tires.
Yes. So I've got several sets. You know, I get these bundles from people's basements, and there's always either good tires on bad wheels or bad tires on good wheels. And I was trying to separate them so I could scavenge some of this stuff. And I read a thread where several different threads of people saying you put it in the oven for 10 minutes at 325 to 350, and then it breaks the CA down, you just peel it off. I'm like, okay, great. These are nylon wheels, and the melting point of nylon is somewhere north of 500 degrees Fahrenheit. So I did that, and then within 5 minutes of putting them in, one set of wheels. And Lee, your boys like the Duratrax monster trucks, right? I think this was a set of wheels off of one of them. It was like a Dolly painting. It just melted and squeezing down into the cookie sheet.
I guess they weren't nylon?
I guess. But the other wheels, they survived. And the tires did indeed peel right off after that. But, you know, I posted those photos on our page, and then I shared it to a group that deals with vintage RC cars. And lots of guys were saying that they do the same thing by putting the tires in a sealed container with a little jar of acetone, and the vapors from the acetone, if you let it sit overnight, is usually enough to break down the CA and just pull that stuff off, and it's much less likely to impact the plastic.
But does it melt the tires?
No.
Interesting.
Acetone doesn't break down rubber, does it?
Or synthetic rubber? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a chemist.
All these people were swearing by that method. Some people were saying, and there are some videos out there where they actually immerse the stuff in vats of acetone. I didn't want to do that. But other people were saying it's just as effective.
I found our freeze frame, Terry. Fitz's eyeball just now when you said that. He was like, what?
It was great. Did we do what now?
It's just a lot.
Vats of acetone.
It's like a James Bond movie.
Isn't that how the Joker was created?
Right.
Sure.
A lot of people were saying it's just as effective doing the vapor method, and obviously much less risk, and you don't have gallons of flammable caustic material in your basement. So I'm going to try that next and see. Other people were saying you could boil the stuff, but then you've got boiling water inside your tires. I don't know if I want to deal with that. So it sounds like there's several ways to skin that cat. I'll try others and see. But the baking method did work. 50% success rate so far. I've got a lot more wheels and tires I need to separate. So I'll try the other method.
100% of the time. It works 100%, 50% of the time.
Yeah. What are some of the wheels are ABS and not ABS, but styrene?
It could be.
Maybe or something like that. Lesser plastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I know people were saying Tamiya tends to make their wheels out of different stuff. So you typically can't dye them like you can dye a lot of other wheels. Anyway, more to come on that. I've been experimenting with some different restoration techniques that we'll talk about some other time, but yeah, I thought I'd give the background story on my melted wheels. All right, who has a project update they want to talk about? Lee, down in the corner.
Although we've stepped away from 3D printing, I'm going to bring it right back. Da!
Oh, yeah, that's your jet. I forgot about
that. It's the FAXX by Kyle.
The Fax? It's
called Built Fax.
Fax. Just a fax, man. It's a Delta Wing EDF 3D printed something or another stealthy-ish looking thing.
Design-wise, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This is the Transformer version.
Right. Kind of the Superman version.
Well, I'm sorry?
It could be the Superman version. Right? Yeah.
Spider-Man. So I did add a little fin. I can 3D print. I made that. You need a handle for this. It's got magnets. But a little cover there. Battery goes inside. It's a 4S2200.
Really?
And I will say, you know, it's pretty cool looking, right? I mean, I got the little 50 millimeter fin in there.
Wait, how big?
Little,
is it 50?
It's 50? A 50.
Okay.
50 50.
Yeah. And I put little servo protectors on there. They can get those off of Thingiverse.
Nice.
Just 2 9-gram servos. Digital. These are digital 9-gram servos. And, you know, because I feel smart, I just went ahead and, you know, put straight in rods in there.
And your signature gaffer's tape?
Yeah, I was going to say, skid plate on the bottom?
My skid plate there, yep. Yeah, it's cool looking, and I did get the CEG done. It's a little on the heavy side, but I gotta say, you may want to bring it back into view, Fitz. The one thing I do not like about this design are there are no locking tabs, no helping with alignment on putting this stuff together. This is all, you're going to have to use tape and feel and just make sure that when you put all the CEA on there, you hold it steady. Because there's one seam that I wasn't pretty, pretty happy about. Most of it went okay, but there's just nothing like that. And so I wish it had little holes that you could, you know, put dowels or something like that, or even just filament that you could just stick in there and help them align the key, you know, so to say.
Yeah, that's what this has.
But yeah, that's, I'm going to bring you back in. So doesn't it have that on the edges?
It does. It's white, so you can't.
Yeah.
It's like blown out. Yeah.
There you go. You can see.
Yeah, there they are. Yeah.
Right there. Yeah. Those little holes for pins, for alignment pins.
So that would be nice. And now, you know, maybe some other people have mentioned it. I didn't go through all the comments. Well, it's cool looking, and I thank my friend Paul for printing it for me on his bamboo. And it is together, and it feels pretty solid, although the only thing holding these fins on is CA. I mean, there's no keys, no notches, something, so you hope it works, and nothing to hold on to throw it, so it's more palming it and, you know,
yeah, I was going to ask. Gray.
So we'll give that a try. Weather hasn't been great here, but
you know my favorite part? The air intake.
Oh, kind of fancy?
Shaped like a heart.
Aw. But this is for Phil. Phil, since I don't have one of the big ones, look what I got.
Hey.
Look what I bought myself. I bought me a little Avanti S. A little, again, a 50 mil. But there's a story about this. I'll try to be brief. I was asking Paul what motor he used for his FAXX, the Fax. And he said he went to a company called Hobby Zone online and just grabbed the 50 mil that's used on several of these Aero kits. And I said, okay, so I'm looking at the kit. It's $20 for the motor.
You know, really? With a fan unit? Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy cheap. And, you know, if you buy the parts individually, it's way more expensive, but they must have this combo discount. But, of course, while I was there, this was on sale. So, because I'm looking at the part it goes to. And I got it, you know. And, Phil, you know, I loved flying your Avanti without your permission at Camp AMA.
I've got two of them. I've got one that lives in Muncie and one that's here. So, it's a good flying airplane.
So the videos look good. There's a gentleman who reviewed it. I don't remember his name. It's on YouTube, and he upped this to 4S without changing the speed controller, and he says it flies fine. So I might give that a try. I've only fitted it for a 3S 1500, so we'll see. It does have a little stabilizer board that's in there, which I've tested just on the bench, and it seems to work pretty good.
I have a 4S 1500 if you want to try it, if you don't have one.
I might grab that from you, so we'll see. But it looks pretty cool. And again, pretty my own little tab to hold on to. But yeah, I mean, I love the other one so much. This should be great. This thing went together in 5 minutes. Yeah. It's so easy. And it's on sale right now. If you hurry up, it was $150.
Coupon code Lee.
Plug and play. Oh, there you. Oh, wait. I can share something else. I'm sorry. I printed this 3D nozzle. Oh, it's actually for a different plane, and Fitz, you'll enjoy my methodology here. This is for a different jet. I wanted to give it a try because some guy said it fits another 50 mil from Aero models, but it was too long. So I grabbed the STL and just dropped it into the plate, the bill plate, to lower it down. And yeah. So just, started it much higher in the print, and it fit perfectly.
So does it choke down the tube at all?
No. It's just decorative.
I was going to ask the same question.
It looks really silly without it, though. I mean, just the foam cut off right there. Can you imagine? So I like it
what
much
would
better.
What would the people
say? Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't hardly adds any weight.
Now, you're being coy about this because you bought two of those.
No, I did this. I only bought one of these. I bought a 64 millimeter for Austin.
Oh, how many different versions of that jet are there?
Well, it's not this one. It was a different one. It was a different model. And for the life of me, because you put me on the spot, I don't remember the kit I bought, Austin. But give me a second here because I do have the website up. Hey, and well, I'll just show you the site I bought this from. So I can't give you a yay or nay, but it's called The Hobby Zone, or it's hobbyzone.com. So this is the Avanti that I bought.
Okay.
And, these aero kits, they're pretty cheesy, simple, but
vector flight stabilization.
Yeah, it does. But the one I got, Austin, was an FMS.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was this Futura.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, what connectors did your Avanti come with?
Battery connectors.
Battery. ESC connectors. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, XT60.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Yeah, but not anymore. I quickly changed that to Dean's. So Austin, I sent Austin this for, I'll make the story. Austin's at Embry-Riddle Daytona. He's not coming home for spring break. My wife was feeling kind of sad for him. It's like, oh, we need to do something. Send him a package. So I said, hey, son, you want to go fly during spring break? He goes, sure. So I'll send you a plane. It's not even spring break yet. He's already flying it. He's sending me pictures and all that. I said, it's really meant for spring break. I said, I'm okay if you fly it, but if you crash it before spring break, I don't want to hear it. But he's having a blast. He says this plane flies great. I think he transferred his AS3X receiver from his biplane that he had and put it into this for adding AS3X to it. And he's having a blast.
All right.
I'm jealous for him because he's got an actual flying field to go to, right? It's really close to the school. When we were there, we had to go to
That flying field was there when you attended Riddle.
It was? I never heard of it.
At DeLand? That's where he's going.
No, really? Not DeLand. No, there's another one. Close, right?
Wasn't there one closer?
Right off I-95?
It's closer, but it's not as good as DeLand. So he takes the long view. It's a 20 minute drive.
It's still a place to fly.
By the flea market or something. But yeah, I agree.
We flew in like some church field or something that was near the school.
Yeah.
That was open. But it had like a tree there. One guy ran to a tree. One guy hit a car.
I never flew. I was never in the club when I was at Riddle.
Well, this wasn't a club. Well, so I was loosely associated with the club, but they were mostly useless. So we just flew rogue. So a bunch of us, I guess, got to know each other and just flew rogue at a church somewhere or something like that. Some field we found.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, I don't know if the club is still there. Do you have ask your son leave? Riddle still has a RC club? RC model
Riddle
club?
Doesn't have one on site. The only one, just one is the Daytona one is still there.
Is there a school organization
that's
an RC club?
They split their time between both clubs. The club, the school actually fly here for their, not SAE, design build fly.
Yeah.
They'll fly at the DeLand.
Yeah, because the school actually had a club, had an RC model club. They didn't have a field, but they had a sanctioned club, if that makes any sense.
If they do, I mean, if he's a member, I think people just go whenever they want.
Yeah. Anyways.
But he does fly with other people, which is nice. I like to hear that he goes there and there's a guy who has an F-16 that he flies with. So, but I will plug this plane in for the last piece here. He loves this FMS Futura 64mm. It is fixed landing gear, so it's kind of, you know, are you against that, flying a jet with some gear down? Some people hate that.
You're always in a pattern, as Parkin says.
We're always ready to land. But it does have, if you look, it's like spring loaded, not oleo, but you can see how it's got a little spring.
Yeah, they're nice landing gear, actually. They're trailing edge struts and stuff. That's actually pretty good. Probably take off from grass pretty decently.
And he's enjoying the heck out of it. So I think it was a good purchase, and still the best dad ever.
I wonder if you could pop the gear off and hand launch it.
You probably could, but he didn't want to do that. Oh. And I think the problem is you'd have to put protectors on the ailerons, servos.
Oh, that's right. He's flying at the land.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of grass out there.
No.
All right.
Okay, I'm done.
Cool. Now, did you guys have other project updates to talk about?
I had a couple things, real quick. I told you about it, but I didn't show you at when I was going to the Half Price Books. I got this cool guy.
$5?
I think it was $20, something like that. But it goes for like 40 something normally. Rubber band powered Wright Flyer with a winder thing on it. So I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know if it's RC-able, but it's still a pretty neat thing. The Nuna box, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. Supposedly it's a pretty decent flyer too.
Okay. What material is it made of?
That's a good question because I haven't taken it out. Well, I have no idea. I haven't opened it. It's made out of stuff.
Hopes and dreams.
Hopes and dreams, yeah.
American ingenuity.
When he opens the box, it'll be gone.
Imagine
it's powder.
The wings look like they're foam. Yeah, yeah. I can't see it. It's never been opened. And one other thing, where did it go? Oh yeah.
Ah yes.
You should get a commission, Terry.
I had to get one. Right. This, of course, is the Duck portable vacuum, battery powered, that Terry was talking about last time. And I found one off of eBay for, I don't know, $20, I think.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, something like that. And it was in Houston. It actually shipped from somewhere in Houston.
Wow.
No, wait a minute. No, this came from Pennsylvania. Sorry.
Not Houston.
No. I think the vendors did.
Right next to Houston, though.
Yeah, the Houston, Pennsylvania. I haven't used it yet, but it seems pretty nice. No, I opened it up just to make sure it was there.
6S.
This is the unboxing because I haven't even looked at it. So
it's new.
It's new. Yeah, it's brand new.
Did it have the new duck smell?
New duck smell.
Whack.
Yeah, it needs to make... Oh, we got a charge.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, does it? Can it sucks cheeks pretty good.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, I use mine a lot this week.
It'll be part of my workshop when I do stuff on a workshop and workbench. I occasionally need to vacuum up stuff from grinding and sanding and whatnot. So.
Yeah. What are you waiting for, Lee?
I've got a huge wet vac. I don't need that little thing. I have all the sucking power outside.
So, Fitz, was that the kind of deal where they have 100 of them that you could get it for $20? Or was that a one-shot deal?
Just a one-shot.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think they had multiple. They had, you know, maybe inventory of them. But I just bought one, and it was like 20-something.
Well, I asked, like, should we post a link to that if anybody else wants to get a duck of their own?
I'm pretty sure they have more. I'll go double check my history.
All right.
See, why am I selling 20 of these duck vacuums?
I think it was 20.
All of a sudden, the price jumps after the first five sales.
I'm pretty sure it was 20 something. I had to double check, but.
All right. Well, cool.
And, Phil, have you bought anything cool lately? Just like since we're talking about
the P-47, it's only a month old. I mean,
it's just cool. A P-47.
It's hard. they're hard. That's a top flight ARF, and they're hard to find, to be honest. Yeah. And then finding all the goodies to go in it. So finding a set of gear, and it was a challenge.
Retracts seem to be a valuable commodity recently with Robart, you know, switching. I guess somebody bought them out, but
yeah, they haven't gone. So I bought the tail gear from the local hobby shop. That we have a really good old hobby shop here in Spokane that is one of those that it's been in business over 50 years, and there's stuff in there that was there when they started. But
nice. Wow,
he had a retract tail gear for it, but it was the forked rather than the yoke, the single arm. So, I mean, it's just a sport. I'm not going to have this thing judged or anything, but it just wasn't right. So I contacted the business that bought the Robart stuff and was able to buy that, just that single arm piece to put it there. And they are starting to sell some parts. I don't think they've started to build any yet though.
Okay.
So Phil, do you have a particular P-47 that's your favorite to fly?
Oh, you know, the big one's becoming my favorite. So I bought two years ago, I bought the Pilot P-47 it's a 95 inch. So it's a really true fifth scale. It's all composite. So you don't have wrinkled covering to deal with and all that kind of thing. But, it was relatively expensive. So it was the first year I got one flight on it, and last year I got five more. And by the time I was done with that, I was really starting to get comfortable with it. And it's really impressive. It's a lot of fun. It sounds really cool. Like I said, covering doesn't wrinkle. The one I've flown the most is a Hangar 9 30cc that was a bubble top, silver bubble top. It's got a DA50 in it, and I bought that a long time ago.
Power.
Well, they said they were 30cc, but the thing weighs 22 pounds. If you'd have tried to fly it with a 30cc, it wouldn't have been very, very much fun. But
just like the real one, really heavy.
Really, it was really heavy for it. But I've flown that. Last year, I flew that in advanced class for scale and won our regional championship here.
So, oh, nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I just remembered an old joke a pilot told me. He says, Republic Aircraft, we made a P-47 and a bunch of other stuff, they had a special lever in the cockpit. So when he released the lever, a bag of sand would fall just in front of the wheels. Do you know why?
To make it think it's the end of the runway?
Make it think it's the end of the runway so it finally would take off.
Yeah, I've watched videos of them, and they roll a long time.
Republic was known for making really heavy aircraft.
Yeah. I think you told that joke when we were talking about Dave Graben flying F-105s.
The thuds? I might have. I got to recycle my jokes every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. It's been long enough. It's due.
The Pilot one is 95 inches, and it came out about 43 pounds. So it's pretty stout.
Wow.
And it's got the Sato 90 radial on it. Still plenty of power, but it does – you let it roll on the ground for quite a while before it leaves. It's pretty close to scale. So,
Have you ever noticed any difference in lateral stability with the bubble top versus the Razorback?
Not really.
I think you mean yaw stability, Terry.
Yeah.
Lateral yaw, it's the same thing, right?
Lateral is this way. Yaw is it? Yeah.
Well, the first bubble tops, they had some problems with them, and then they put a dorsal fin. Added a dorsal to them to help cure that.
Yeah, I think same thing for the P-51s too, I think. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the correction there, Fitz. No.
You can just edit that out.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. I'll make it so I'm correcting Fitz.
Okay, you're going to correct my speech pattern. I'm going to correct your technical details.
All right. So what else do we want to talk about? Do we have anything on a list?
I only have one other topic. And that's a trip I'm planning with Fitzaroony.
Road trip!
Next week.
Is that the trip we talked about last time?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Perry or bust. Fitz and I are going to be traveling buddies, heading to Georgia. And this time we're bringing night planes, because they're doing night flying on Friday. So we're going to participate in that. So
where does the night flying happen?
At the Perry Airfield, which is like not even a mile.
Yeah, right on the block.
Down the road. It's right around the block. So we're in a perfect position to just go, you know, Perry swap meet, buy stuff, and then go fly night planes at the field.
All right.
Clean up everything else on Saturday while we pack up and head back home.
Perry's on my list one of these days, too, but it's a long ways away from Spokane.
Yeah, and, the funny thing is, I asked Terry to kindly post in RC groups the video, the live video Fitz and I did last time we were there in 22, and then the podcast that we did with Kirk. And I listened to the podcast, and there were just so many things in that podcast, like I completely forgot. But lessons I told myself for the next time I go to Perry. So I will be listening to myself again to make these plans, because I think the one thing I said was I need a dumpster dive. I need to go in these bins and actually, you know, dig through them, because we didn't do that before. We were so busy around just looking at what this the surface. We just have no idea what's there. So I'm thinking we're going to find some or uncover some really neat gems.
Some gold nuggets on there.
Yeah. Fitz and I have a list of, you know, stuff to look for. And Kirk won't be joining us this year, but he's given us a boat to look for. Oh, so it'll be fun.
All right. No, last time we talked about this, I mentioned that I'm still looking for a pair of Zeebin pliers. Our buddy Jason Klein found a pair, I think it was last weekend. So I'm down one. I was looking for two, and I got one. So thank you, Jason, for that. So we're still on the lookout for one pair.
Both hands or what?
Well, yeah, really. What do you need two?
Well, the funny part is, I've already got my own. I've got a set of Zeebin pliers.
You need three pairs.
Shut up and let me talk.
He needs the hydraulic pairs.
You can tie them all together just to make it.
I have a pair of handmade ones. I don't know where I got them from, but
if they work, they work. But I have my own that I've used for years. But out of the blue, like a month ago or almost 2 months ago, probably, I had two different members of my club reach out to me and say, "Hey, do you happen to have extra Zeebin pliers?" And I don't. So these are, I'm just the agent here. These are four other people.
Wow. But, middleman.
Yeah, right. I'm taking my cut. But, yeah, I was a little bit surprised because I've been to at least two swap meets since then. And I just assumed, you know, everybody's got a set of Zeebin pliers to swap meet. But now I haven't seen any around here.
Interesting. Huh,
surprised.
So, yeah.
I know I've seen at least several at swap meets here and there.
Fitz and I are going to come back with four Zeebin pliers. They're all going to be different.
Yeah, right. Well, hold on to them, because apparently they're a good investment. They're becoming more rare. Hmm. And I was a modeler for many years before I cut a pair of Zeebin pliers. And man, what did I ever do before that?
I found them. I use them about half the time. There's a certain size that they're good for. Sometimes the wire
is too big,
it doesn't work.
They're ideal for a 40 size trainer or whatever.
Yeah. 256 wire. Yeah.
256, 440 if you really want to hoof it. But yeah, usually smaller diameter, 256 and smaller, they're fine. But
yeah.
If it's really small, I just use needle nose pliers for really thin wires.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I was going to add, when I was listening to the show, Terry had asked, he's like, so when you went to Perry, how full was the trailer? When you came back from Perry, what was back in it? And we all said we needed the trailer. You know, put so much in that trailer coming back. Yeah. So we're taking my trailer this year. I drove my truck and hauled Fitz's trailer, but now we're taking my trailer. So the fact that we're going to fly some stuff, we'll bring a couple of night planes. I might bring the Radian, and you know, we may bring stuff to sell. My goal is to just really document the heck out of it, have some fun, and then, of course, maybe find a few gems. I told Fitz, I said, I don't need anything else right now. I've got planes to finish. I really want to get the P-38 done. But I bought those two gas planes, High Wing, one Cub, one Champ, and I didn't keep them. You know, I let them go, which is okay. I was fine with that, but I wouldn't mind having a nice 90-plus inch High Wing gasser to fly around at Bomber, so... That might be on my list. Not that I needed to get one. I'm not just going to grab whatever I find. But who knows? We might find some interesting things, and there might be people just giving stuff away, especially on Saturday. So,
right.
Well, see Phil smiling. He's like, don't forget me.
When you mentioned dumpster diving, I thought you meant the dumpster diving at the event on Sunday afternoon just to see what people didn't want to carry home. But now I know what you're talking about. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Phil. What were you saying?
Well, it's one part of the hobby that I really enjoy too is swap meets. It's a whole lot of fun, and it's you know the dance, watching people go through this dance that they do, and I've walked up and just been told these guys, I just have to laugh. I mean, you're afraid to tell him how much you'll pay, and he's afraid to ask you what he wants because you don't make this connection, and they both stand there and just, well, you make an offer. Well, how much will you give me? Oh, you make an offer.
Called Modeler's Kabuki.
You know, I will say, my procedure now is I'm about to give you a really low offer. I'm gonna let you know. So if you like cuss at me, I'm gonna say, no, I got you. Understand? I'm gonna walk away.
You remind me of something I heard. Somebody says, if you're not embarrassed, you're not asking for a low enough number, right?
But it's funny because I think about what Kirk, two things that we talked about. Kirk was looking for something or eyeing something. And this was a comment I made. I said, one of the problems I had at this event where there were two items I wanted, but the sellers were not at the table. And I made a comment, if you're selling at Perry, you need to put someone's butt there. You've got to make sure, because there were sales loss. And Kirk had mentioned he was looking at something. He wanted it. No one was there. He went back like 30 minutes later and the item was gone because the guy showed up and then someone else bought it. He's like, you know, I was ready to pay cash and take that thing, but the guy wasn't there. And I'm giving that little note to anybody who's listening. If you're selling, please keep your butt there or put a phone number at least so you can communicate with that.
No, never mind. I had a thought, but it's probably come out wrong. So never mind.
This is the show to say it on, Fitz.
Well, you carry a piece of paper with you and some tape. And then you just take the item and you put a tape there that says, I have your item and I have your money. Call me.
Probably not, but I.
So I was like, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Sounds like a good way to get tased.
So, Fitz, I wonder if you remember this. You were, I'm not sure if it was you or Kirk that was standing next to me, but on Saturday when everything was closing, there was a plane that I think it may have been the Starfire 40 I was looking at. Someone had this kit. I was like, I'm going to give them an offer. And I saw the plane like not 5 minutes earlier. I turned around, walked back, and it was gone. And I went and asked the guy at the counter. I said, so I'm curious, how much did you sell the Starfire for? And he went, where's the Starfire?
Oh.
So in that conversation, we think it was five-fingered right after we walked by.
Oh, man.
Because everybody was packing up and taking their carts and leaving. And so I was going to offer him, you know, something for it. I don't think he was going to probably take it. But the fact is, he was like looking around going, where'd it go? I'm like, I don't know. So, by the way, if you're selling stuff, keep your eye on your gear.
Yeah. Put those Apple tags in them or something.
Yeah, so I will say, I mean, Toledo, I've never been to, and I've heard great things of the swap meet that happens there. Perry is, to me, the swap meet of all swap meets, because it was amazing. Just like, you know, Joe Nall is the event of model aviation. Mm. So, I'm sure I've said it many, many times, it's got to be on your bucket list. Phil, you know, you got to go there. You got to join us, and, you know, I'll haul stuff back to my house, and the next time I go to Muncie, I'll drive up there. We'll figure a way to get things that you want back to Washington.
Yeah, maybe if you have somewhere to visit in Georgia or somebody or something, you can do it. Double duty.
I don't know anybody in Georgia.
Oh,
I could.
Well, how about
we'll find somebody?
I could give it to Andy Griffith and have him bring it to Muncie and get it.
That's exactly. There you go. So, and I'll see you, you know, I'll see Andy at probably Joe Dahl. So, you know, give me a list of little things, Phil, if I can find them for you, or gems you're looking for. If I find it, I will.
Things. I like little things.
Little things, yeah. If I find something little that'll fit in my trailer, I will make that happen for you. So get with me offline, send me a list, and I will help you.
Okay, thank you.
So, of the strategies you talked about, was a wad full of cash one of those new strategies? Like, yes, not limiting yourself?
Have cash. You well, have to have like, cash.
Did you find that you didn't take enough last time?
Oh, well, I think my mistake was I didn't have a lot of expectations. I was there to experience it. So I was selling a few things, and I just thought I'd grab a few things because that I wasn't going there to bring something big home. I brought two, three planes home that were inexpensive, and I kind of broke even. So I sold stuff and I bought stuff, so it's fine. This time, though, I probably will take more cash because I'm kind of hopeful I'll find some really cool things in those bins.
I don't remember. Was there an ATM there? I don't.
It's probably a $20 fee.
Now, that said, I did write a check for something when I was there last night.
You did.
Remember that?
I remember that. You had one check in your wallet.
Yeah.
Been there for 20 years.
Yep. Yeah. It's my case of emergency break glass check.
Wait a minute. Was that check the one where you bought the B-17 for that guy?
Yes, it was for a club member.
Wow, I remember that.
Yeah, and I acted as
a little man. You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
Yeah, because it was quite a bit of money, and I had to short a guy. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm good for it, and here's all my information and stuff. But he was pretty cool about it. He's like, okay, whatever.
Oh, I want to chime in and say that, you know, besides just the swap meets, there are a lot of vendors out there, but, you know, selling the
Yeah.
I bought a whole bunch of screws from, was it RTL Fasteners? Is it right?
Yeah, RTL Fasteners, yeah.
Yeah, so I bought a whole bunch of little things. And in fact, one thing I use, it's not up here, but it's in my workshop, is two little plywood cards that have screws, metric and, you know, was it ANSI? What do we say?
SAE.
Lee, I should mention, there's this one guy, a small vendor, I keep running into all over the place. So last time we were there, I saw him there at Perry. I saw him again at, when we went to Jets Over the Land. I saw him again in, I think, the swap meet here in Texas, Georgetown, not this year, I think last year or something like that. So there's this one guy, I just keep running into him. He gets around, and I don't think he lives anywhere near us. I think he lives like in...
One of you is stalking the other.
I don't know.
Is this the guy who had connectors?
Yeah, the guy with all the connectors and stuff. Yeah.
He comes up to... We have a big swap meet outside of Seattle, and I think it's the same guy that comes here because I saw him at Joe Nall, too.
Yeah, I might have been at Joe Nall, as a matter of fact.
Is that TGK?
Remember.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking it's the same guy because Fitz, there was a guy at Ceph who had a huge red tent set up.
Yeah.
And we ran into him again at Joe Nall.
So it must be the same guy.
Yeah.
And he said he saw him, Phil, up in your area?
Well, there was a guy that was up in our area that I know he's talked about. I chatted with him for a while because there wasn't much going on. He says he goes all over the place and he sells like servo extensions and connectors and things like that. I saw him again at Joe Nall. And that's closer to Perry than.
Wow, he gets around.
For sure.
That guy's a nomad.
All right. So, Lee, you mentioned that you may or may not be selling things, which I'm surprised you haven't figured that out yet, because this, I assume, will be our last show before you guys go to Perry. This is your opportunity to start hawking your wares.
Well, I'm not going there. I'm going there as AMA, so I'm going there to do a lot of footage and content. If I sell stuff, I'll have it. We do have a table. RC Roundtable has a table because we are an advertiser, I guess, or a sponsor of the event. So we will do a live show to promote the club and the event. And so they was kind of them, but hopefully our friend Tom Blakeney, who said he'd offer to sit at the table. As I mentioned, I don't want to sell stuff if I can't be there to make sure I sell it. So that's why if I do sell stuff, I'm going to talk with Fitz and we'll figure a schedule.
All right. Cool.
But not like I want to sell any of my stuff.
So if you're going to Perry, find our table, get your free sticker, get a hug from Fitz, and a snarl from Lee, a dirty look.
You can rub my head. Yeah, we'll be in, is it the McKinney building? Oh gosh, I forgot the name of the building. We'll be next to the AMA booth. But look for us. We'll be walking around and hopefully recording live. So
yeah,
find us.
All right. I'm jealous once again. I think you guys are going to have fun.
You know, don't worry. Don't worry. We will go live. You will call me on my phone and say, hey, stop, go back. I want you to buy that like you did last time.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. Was it an Astroflight motor?
It was a motor.
Yeah. We were live. Like Terry's like, hey, wait a minute, go back.
Phil has my number too. I'm going to go live. Phil's going to say, hey, Lee, I need you to go back, make an offer.
Or I'll get browbeat into buying something by the
Right.
Guilt shamed into buying a kit or something.
You know that Phil. I mean, sorry, Fitz. That's exactly what we need to do. Is the planes what we're working on, and the planes that you've bought? Yeah. We need to figure out what parts we need to finish them. So let's make sure that's part of our mission. Wheels.
I have to look. Right. I'll spend this weekend kind of doing inventory of what I need. It's going to be crap weather anyway, so I'll just hang out in the workshop.
And we should make a list, and every episode we'll update the status of all those things that the people made you buy. Is it just the one so far, the ME-110 or BF-110?
Yeah, that's so far. I don't think there was anything else, right?
Okay. I don't know. All right. Have you done anything with it since you got it home?
Other than pilot? Nope. It's sitting on the side. I actually was going to do a video, do like a live show talking about it. I was going to do a live show of me going through it and seeing what worked and what didn't work. So maybe I'll do it this weekend.
Hobby View?
Yeah, on Hobby View. Yeah. Yes. On Hobby View, on your shirt. There you go.
All right, cool.
I need a screen capture of that so I can send it to my graphic designer, show them people are appreciating it.
Yeah. So just as a reminder to you two fellas there in the corners, we still do RC rescues, and I'm waiting patiently, although less so, for your contributions, you and you.
Oh, so, man. Mine's the F-15 is very close to being done.
It's been very close to being done for a month. So please... to get us some content there. Actually, people get tired of listening to me.
I'll just go fly in the rain. You don't care.
I don't. People would watch that. Who wants to see you fly on a sunny day?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Real F-15s flying.
3 inches of rain on the runway.
Yeah. All right, just a little reminder. So, right. And speaking of, we should record some this week because I've got a few projects to make videos about. So I'm ready.
All right. So I think on that note, I think we should wrap things up. Anything else you got? Last minute thoughts? I think we burned through all our content.
Yeah, I think so.
Hope to see some folks at Perry that listen to the show. Oh, stickers. Make sure we bring some stickers, Lee. I have some, but I don't know how many I have, so I'll grab everything I can find. But if you have any, it'd be great. If you see us... say hello, say how much you love the show, and you can get a sticker.
They're all going to go through. I'm just going to give all my stickers to Fitz.
No, you too.
They're going to come up to me and say, hey, can you tell me where Fitz Walker is?
Phil got it. You want my I am Fitz Walker shirt? You can wear
that. No, I'm wearing that right now. It's like
I saw that.
I'm definitely bringing this with me.
So I got to bring the I am one, I guess. Yep. So, Phil, any last minute thoughts before we bug out?
No, thanks for having me on. It was fun. I certainly enjoyed it. And I do watch, so I am a viewer too. Oh, so.
Dang it. Got to watch what we say.
That's right. That's right.
You now know how the sausage is made.
I do.
It's crazy.
Well, Phil, thanks for joining us. I hope to see you in person sometime in the future. And thanks for really for supporting the hobby and doing the down and dirty work on the ground there for District 11. I'm sure hopefully everybody appreciates your effort out there and keeping things straight.
Thank you.
So I guess that wraps things up. I don't think we have anything else, and I'm going to stop filibustering. Thank you, everybody, for joining this episode, RC Roundtable. Please like and subscribe to the video if you're watching it. And if you're on any of the podcast medias, please give us a thumbs up, some stars. We're on Spotify. And hate mail, of course, goes to Terry at contact@rcroundtable.com.
We might as well just change that to Terry at Rouser, right? Can we, let's officially decide that right now.
No, but we all see it. It's just, we just, of course, like to pick on Terry. I think he usually sees it first and then tells us about it. And on that note, thanks everybody for listening and watching, and we will see you later. And hopefully we'll see you at a live event sometime soon. Cheers.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Please visit our website at rcroundtable.com. That's where you will find all of our podcast episodes. You can also find a little bit of background information about the show host and leave comments and suggestions about the show. There are links to a few of our favorite vendors and also links to our various social media accounts. Thank you for watching and listening.